السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 108 to 113 of Surah An-Nisa today. We'll begin with the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayah number 108. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يستخفون. They seek to hide. إخفى is the root word, and that means to hide. Ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending tells us it's plural. So yastakhfuna, they seek to hide. The sin sukun right after the ya in the beginning can mean to seek to. Okay, so they hide or they seek to hide min from annasi, the mankind, wa and la, na. Yastakhfuna, they seek to hide min from Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, while, huwa, he, ma'ahum, ma'a, with, hum, them, ith, when, yubayyituna. Bayyata is the root word, and that means to spend time at night plotting. Okay, and then the you in the beginning tells us it's in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they spend the night plotting. Ma, what? La, not. Yarudha, he approves. This comes from the word ridha, which means approval. Ya tells us it's in the third person. So yarudha, he approves. Min, from al-qawl. Al means the, and qawl means words or speech. Wa and kana, he is, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bima, be with, ma, whatever, ya'maluna, they do. Ayn, mim, lam, amal is the root word, and that means to do something. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes it plural. So it means they. So ya'maluna, they do. Muhita, one, all encompassing. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, one of his attributes. So muhita, one who completely encompasses. Ha antum, ha in the beginning is used to warn, okay, to call people to pay attention. So ha antum, ha, beware. Antum, all of you. Ha ulai, are these. Jadaltum, jadala means to dispute, to argue. Jadal, pleaded or disputed. Tum, all of you. So jadaltum means you pleaded with each other or you disputed with each other. Anhum, on, about, hum, them. Fi in al-hayati, the life, ad-dunya, of the world, meaning the near. Faman, fa, so, man, who, yujadil, will argue. The same word, but it begins with a you, so it's in the third person form. Yujadil, he will argue or dispute. Allaha, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anhum, an, about, hum, them. Yawma, day. Al-Qiyamah, the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or man, who, yakunu, will be. Kun means to be. And ya in the beginning tells us this is in the third person. So yakunu, he will be. Alay, upon, him, them. Wakila, a disposer of affairs. Ra'ant, man, whoever. Ya'mal, he does. So amal is the root word again, and that means to do something. Ya in the beginning tells us this is in the third person. So ya'mal, he does. Su'an, an evil or a bad deed. Oh, or yadhlim. This comes from dhulm, which means injustice. Ya in the beginning means this is in the third person. So yadhlim, he does injustice or he wrongs. Nafsahu. Nafs means soul. Hu, his. So nafsahu, himself. Thumma, then. Yastaghfir. Istighfar is the root word, and that means to seek forgiveness. And ya in the beginning tells us this is in the third person. So yastaghfir, he seeks forgiveness. Allaha, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yajid, he will find Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghafuran, one most forgiving. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another one, Rahima, one always all merciful. Wa and man, whoever. Yaksib. Kasaba means to earn something. Okay, so ya in the beginning tells us this is in the third person. Yaksib, he earns. Ithman, a sin. Fa innama, fa then, innama, only. Yaksibuhu. Yaksibu, he earns. Hu, it. Ala, against. Nafsihi, himself. Wa and kana, he is. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aliman. This comes from ilm. It's an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aliman, one always all-knowing. Hakima, this comes from hikmah, which means wisdom. Hakiman, one always all-wise. Wa and man, whoever. Yaksib, he earns. Khati'atan. Khati'atan means a fault. Oh, or ithman, a sin. Thumma, then. Yermi. Rama means to throw. So, ya in the beginning means this is in the third person. Yermi, he throws. Be with he, it. Bari'an. Bari'an means one innocent, an innocent person. Faqad, fa, then. Qad, in fact. Ihtamala, he carried. Hamal is the root word which means a load, okay, a burden. To carry, so ihtamala is a verb and it means he carried. Buhtanan, a slander or a false accusation. Wa and ithman, a sin. Mubina, one clear or explicit. Wa and lo, if. La, not. Fadlu, grace or bounty. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alayka, alay, upon, ka, you. Wa and rahmatuhu, rahmatu, mercy, who, his. La hammat, la, surely. Hammat, intended. Ta'ifatun, a group. Min, from, whom, them. An, that. Yudilluka. Yudillu comes from dolal, which we've covered already, and that means to go astray. Dolal, an error or straying. And you in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yudillu, they lead astray. Ka, you. Wa and ma, not. Yudilluna, they lead astray. Illa, except. Anfusahum. Anfus is plural for nafs, which means a soul. So anfus, souls, hum, theirs. And when we put this together, anfusahum, themselves. Wa and ma, nor. Yadurunaka. Yaduruna, they harm. Ka, you, min, from. Shay'in, anything. Wa and anzala, he sent down. Or he revealed. Allahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alayka, alay, upon, ka, you. Al-kitab, the book. Wa and al-hikmata, the wisdom. Wa and allamaka. Allama comes from ilm, which means knowledge. And when we see a shadda on the lam, the tashdeed on the lam, allama, that means to teach. Okay, and we know this is singular and it's in the third person because there's three fathas in a row. Allama, he taught. Ka, you. Ma, what? Lam, did not. Da kun, da means you. Kun, are. Or were. Ta'alam, you know. Ilm means to know. Da in the beginning means you. So ta'alam, you know. Wa and kana, is or was. Fadlu, fadl means grace or bounty. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alayka, alay, upon. Ka, you. Azima, most great. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last time we learned about deceitful people and sinners. And we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love such people. The next ayah tells us a little bit more about those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْتَغْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَغْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They might be able to hide their crimes from people, but they cannot hide from Allah. Allahu Akbar. This ayah and the next should make us all so cautious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people hide their sins from other people, but they can't hide anything from Allah. And if we apply this to the person who stole from that man from the Banu Ubarak tribe that we were learning about, and also his tribesmen who supported him, because they were worried about what people would think if they found out. They were concerned about people, but they couldn't hide their crime from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this goes for people who used to plot at night against Muslims. They got together and they talked about how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed the Jewish man of blame, and he decided against their man. They were offended that he had not decided in favor of the Muslim man. So they plotted to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about this. And they thought that Qatada should not have been able to accuse them or their man of stealing. Likewise, the hypocrites used to plot against the believers and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They secretly met and spoke negatively about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they thought it was all fine. As long as people didn't find out, they thought they were okay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they hid their bad deeds from other people, as if nobody would find out. But they could not hide from Allah, because that's just impossible. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ. And He is with them. How could they hide from Him? He is always with them. How? Now, it doesn't mean that He is present with us here. When we say He's with us, it doesn't mean He's here with us. But He is with us according to His ability to hear, according to His vision, His knowledge, His power, His control over everything. He is with us in that way. He hears us in a way that the person sitting next to us can't even hear. Because the person sitting next to us can't hear our heartbeat. That person can't hear our thoughts or ideas. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all these things, even though He is on the arsh. He's on the throne. So we can't think that He is here with us physically. Na'udhu billah. He is on His arsh, but He is still with us. And he is closer to us than our own selves. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. This is what we learn. And we are closer to him than his jugular vein. This is what he tells us in the Quran. And he also says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you wherever you go. And he was with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in cave 4 when they were hiding from the disbelievers. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was afraid that they would find Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there and attack him. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, لا تحزن, don't worry, O Abu Bakr. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Indeed, Allah is with us. Subhanallah. His help was with them. And also the victory from him. In Surah Mujadila, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, haven't you seen that Allah has knowledge of everything in the heavens and the earth? When there are three men who talk about something privately, the fourth of them is Allah. And if there are five people who whisper something to each other, the sixth among them is Allah. And if there are more, Allah is with them wherever they are. They cannot escape to a place where Allah would not find out about what they said. So why do we worry so much about hiding things from people? Why do we care so much? People try to hide what they do from others when they're deceiving someone especially. But how can we hide things from Allah, even if we hide things from other people? That's something we should think about, because only someone who fears Allah would think that way. Other people don't care to remember that. But we can reform ourselves if we think that way. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us that wherever we are, ittaqullah, fear Allah, wherever you go. So no matter where we go and hide, even if we whisper something in someone's ear or say something quietly to ourselves, he is with us. There's no way we can hide anything from him, even if we hide things from other people. Even when people speak to their children, sometimes they tell them that others shouldn't find out about something bad they did. That don't tell someone or don't let this person find out. Even very little things, small things, they tell their children not to tell other people. So they're basically programming that child to be afraid of what others think. Instead of teaching that child that Allah knows, they should teach that child that it doesn't matter if anyone else finds out or not. You should worry that Allah knows what we're doing. So they would only fear Allah. Why do people think it's acceptable for Allah to know, but not other people, when they do something bad? Do we prioritize other people's approval more than Allah's approval? That's not what Tawheed teaches us. We should be willing to upset anyone or be upset with anyone, but we should never risk upsetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because where would we go without him? He knows everything. Even if we hide things from people, he knows them. إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Even when they plot by night in words that he cannot approve. This tells us that there are things people say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. And then there are other words that he does like. There's a hadith we've gone over many times before too. And it says, a person says something because he doesn't think it's anything big. He doesn't think much of it. But because of what he said, he is destined to end up so deep in Jahannam that it's like the distance between the east and the west. That's how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked what that person said. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they secretly plot at night and they say things against Muslims. But they don't even think about the fact that Allah is with them. They can't hide their secret plotting from Him. He didn't like what the hypocrites were saying about the true believers. And He did not like what people from the tribe were saying to try to save their man, just so others wouldn't think badly of them. When people try to defend deceitful people, they tend to exaggerate or they lie. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such things. He does not approve of anyone who tries to defend criminals. We have to remember that. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all their actions. He knows everything they do. Scholars say that we should be really careful when we speak, because we don't want to end up saying anything that Allah doesn't approve of. We learn from hadith, whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment should say something good or remain quiet. It's safer to be quiet instead of talking too much and saying something that displeases Allah. And we should not try to free criminals of blame or try to prove that they're innocent. Because He says, Ha antum ha'ula'i jadaltum anhum fil hayati dunya. Beware, you may plead for them in this worldly life. You are people who plead for them in this life. فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. But who will plead for them with Allah on the Day of Resurrection? Allahu Akbar. Who will defend them on the Day of Judgment? Who will fight for them there? This ayah reminds our dear ustaza of how mothers try to defend their children. Because mothers defend their kids no matter what. They say that their child is innocent and it's other people who should be blamed, even when their child is at fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell people to try to plead for them on the Day of Judgment, and it will be the same for everyone who tries to defend people at fault, whether it's politicians, relatives, friends, whoever. We should always be fair when we decide between people. Like between our brothers and their wives, for example. Don't take the brother's side as if he could never be wrong. Same with the sister and her husband. Why do people act like the sister can never be at fault if there's a disagreement and any problem they face is because of her husband? Also, for the son and daughter-in-law, people try to defend their sons, even when they are wrong. Why don't they think about and stand up for the person who is right? And why don't they try to be fair? People usually defend their loved ones and they try to blame the other person. But remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here. Ha antum ha ula'i jadaltum anhum fil hayati dunya. فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Allahu Akbar. On that day, people will be running away from others to save themselves. This ayah should be a wake-up call for all of us. We try to defend people here in this life because they're family and friends, because we love them. But what will we do there on the Day of Judgment? We won't be able to stand up for them there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about the Day of Judgment, so we keep this in mind. Because people go so overboard in trying to plead for their loved ones that they end up lying and making things up. They accuse others of doing things that they didn't even do. But we should think about what will happen on the Day of Judgment. And we should be careful when we plead for anyone. Now, in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so much hope. And it's such a beautiful ayah. So, if we have done anything wrong, whatever it is, and we regret it now. Now that we are studying the Quran and we know how wrong it is to do certain things, what should we do? Is it possible for us to erase those sins? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ, and whoever does evil or wrongs his own soul, if they have made a mistake, what should they do? They should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Su actually means a corpse. It's something that disgusts us, like the smelly dead body of an animal. And lying is an example of su. When people lie, that is su, because everyone dislikes lies. So for anyone who does su'an, something bad, أو يظلم نفسه, or he does injustice to himself, what happens then? Before we continue, let's think about how people are unjust to themselves when they get caught up with things that attract them, like immorality, interest, fraud, or deceiving to take someone else's property, someone else's money. These are some of the different ways that people wrong themselves. So if anyone wrongs themselves with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or other people, when it comes to either of those things, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ, then he seeks Allah's forgiveness. What happens? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him then? We often wonder, can I be forgiven when I have committed sins? If that person seeks forgiveness from Allah, يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, he will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving and merciful. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not push us away and ask us why we committed such sins in the first place. He won't question us that now you want forgiveness after everything you did. He'll turn to that person in forgiveness and be merciful to them. So anyone who turns towards Allah to repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to that person in mercy. Even if that person's sins are sighira, meaning the smaller ones, or kabira, the bigger sins. Even if so many sins pile up that they reach the skies, or they're as tall as the mountains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person, no matter what that person has done. He doesn't just say that he will forgive their smaller sins. Instead, he says that he turns to them in mercy and forgiveness. When the Bani Israel used to sin, that sin used to be written on that person's front door, and the expiation for it would appear written there as well. And that was humiliating for the sinner, because everyone found out about their wrongdoing, about their sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do that with us, or we would have been really humiliated. We would have been so embarrassed because we are so sinful. Imagine if all our sins that we commit in just one day were written on our doors, on our front doors. We would be so ashamed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that he makes us so hopeful with what he tells us in this ayah, that he will forgive us and his mercy will surround us. A great sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, said, there are 5 ayat in Surah An-Nisa that make me happier than if I were to receive everything in this world. These ayat make me happier than everything in this world, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, we've learned 4 of them already, and this ayah is the 5th. So which ayat make up those 5 ayat that made him happier than he would have been if he obtained everything in this dunya? Let's go over those ayat. The first is, Okay, this is ayah number 31 of Surah Nisa. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. If you avoid the major sins which you are forbidden, we will remove from you your lesser sins and admit you to a noble entrance into paradise. SubhanAllah. The next one is ayah number 40. إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة وإن تك حسنة يضاعفه ويؤتي من لدنه أجرا عظيما. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong anyone, even as much as the weight of an atom. Well, if there is a good deed, He multiplies it and gives from Himself a great reward. SubhanAllah. And the third ayah is ayah number 48. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive shirk, but He forgives what is less than that for whom He wills. That makes us so hopeful that we can be forgiven as long as we don't do shirk. The fourth ayah. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. And O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if they commit a sin and they come to you, they seek repentance from Allah themselves, and you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seek forgiveness for them, indeed they will find Allah accepting of repentance and merciful. And now the ayah we're doing is the fifth one. But some say that ayah 64 is not a part of those ayat. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا, that ayah, that it's not a part of those ayat, and there were only four that were narrated. So they say the fourth ayah is this one that we just covered, ayah number 110. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu loved this ayah. And Abdullah bin Abbas said there are 8 ayat in the surah that are better for this ummah than everything else that the sun rises over and sets over. That means they're better than everything in this world. 5 of those 8 ayat he mentioned are the same that we just learned about from Abdullah bin Masud's narration. And the other 3 are ayat 46, 47, and 48 of Surah Nisa. Those ayat say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to clarify everything to you, to show you the way of the good people who passed before you. He wants to turn to you in mercy. That's beautiful, subhanAllah. And then He says that He wants to send His mercy upon you and accept your repentance. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that He wants to forgive us, even though we are the ones who want to be forgiven. He tells us that He already wants to forgive us. The last ayah says that He wants to lighten the burden from people because we were created weak. These are such powerful ayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much hope that we can actually be forgiven. We can hope for forgiveness. But we must be sincere when we seek His forgiveness. We have to repent and we have to feel bad about the sin we committed. And then make the intention of staying away from that sin then onwards. Sometimes people sin when they are really emotional. Or they end up doing or saying something wrong due to bad company. At times they say or do something bad out of ignorance because they just don't know. And other times they do know, but they just forget and end up doing something suddenly or saying something to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we end up doing wrong, if we turn to seek his forgiveness. He says, يجد الله غفورا رحيما. يجد الله غفورا رحيما. That person will find Allah to be forgiving and merciful. He doesn't say that person will find Allah to be the one who punishes or avenges or swift in account taking or punishing. He leaves out all those attributes and he chooses his beautiful attributes of being Ghafur al-Rahim to mention here. This means that he wants to forgive us, so we will find him most forgiving and all merciful. Imagine a mother who tells her child that she'll be waiting for him or her whenever that child returns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the same thing to us, that whenever you turn and come back, no matter what sort of sin you have committed, you will find Allah to be Ghafur al-Rahim. Can anyone be that kind and that merciful? He tells us, you sinned, but it's okay. It happens. You will find me forgiving and merciful. Subhanallah. There's a hadith Qudsi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O son of Adam, whenever you invoke me and hope that I will forgive your sins, I will forgive all your sins. And I wouldn't care even if your sins had reached the skies. If you seek my forgiveness, then I will forgive you, without caring that you have brought so many sins. He's not going to say, now you remember, after committing so many sins, why didn't you remember to stop before? He says that he won't care how many sins there are. He says, O son of Adam, even if you bring so many sins that they fill the earth, but you meet me in the state of not having associated partners with me, I will forgive you as much as those sins. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so loving, so forgiving, and so affectionate. He is so merciful. O Allah, forgive our sins and turn to us in mercy. We need you to accept our repentance and be merciful to us. We have committed so many sins. We admit that, but we hope for your forgiveness. A woman asked the scholar Abdullah that she had committed zina. She told him that, and she said that she had killed the baby afterwards when it was born. He told her that her punishment was Jahannam. She started crying and she left. Then he called her back and recited ayah number 110 that we just covered. Okay, and that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if anyone does evil or wrongs his own soul, then he seeks Allah's forgiveness, he will find Allah forgiving and merciful. When he recited that ayah, that woman wiped her tears away and left. Allahu Akbar. How can we turn away from Allah when he is so merciful towards us? When he wants to forgive us? He says that he is Ghafur al-Rahim. We just have to turn back to him and repent. So many people doubt that they can ever be forgiven for their sins. But these ayat tell us clearly how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So people should not say that they can't be forgiven, that they have no hope. A lot of times people say that they messed up and they ended up sinning again after repenting. And then it happened again. So they are not sure if they should even repent now. But we have to remember that we have to do it anyway. And we must intend to avoid that sin after that. Because he says that he will be forgiving and merciful towards us. So we can't be lazy about repenting. We can't delay it. We have to seek forgiveness now before death comes. we don't even know if we'll be around later to do tawbah or turn back. So we must do it now. We have to turn back to Allah before it's too late. We have to turn to Him eventually. We have to return to Him. So there's no point in running from Him now. On the Day of Judgment, people will say, "Ayn al-mafar?" Is there a place to escape to? But there will be no escape. So people who run from Allah cannot do it for long. It's best to turn back to Him now. Turn to Him and seek His approval before we meet Him. And it's so easy to please Him. It's not complicated and it's not difficult at all. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a Muslim commits a sin, he should make wudu and pray 2 nafil salah and seek Allah's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sin. Subhanallah. When it comes to apologizing to other people, we have to mention the things we did wrong. And they take time to accept our apology. They make us feel bad for our actions first. And they hurt our feelings in that process sometimes. And sometimes they're still not willing to forgive us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do that. Even though He is so great, He is the greatest, He is very easy to please. He forgives us so easily because He loves us and He is merciful towards us. He is affectionate and forgiving. He knows we are weak and wants to lighten our burdens. Subhanallah. These ayat are so beautiful, so eye-opening once we study them in depth. That's why the Sahaba loved them more than everything in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to think like those Sahaba, those beloved companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can value these ayat, and may these ayat motivate us to repent and be hopeful. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَمَنْ يَكْثِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. And whoever commits a sin, yaksib means to earn, but when someone earns a sin, it means to commit a sin. And whoever commits a sin, he commits it against his own soul. He doesn't harm Allah in any way. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah. He is the owner. If we sin, we are the ones at a loss. If we don't worship Him or don't bother doing good deeds, it doesn't make a difference to Him at all. But it's our loss if we don't. He doesn't need us. We need Him. We can't make do without Him. We can't even breathe without His permission. When we need someone to do something for us, we do so much to please that person. So they'll actually listen to us, right? But shouldn't we try to please Allah? How hard should we try when we depend on Him for everything? We should try to get His approval, glorify Him a lot more than we compliment other people who do things for us. We thank them and we glorify, we thank them and we compliment them, say good things about them. But shouldn't we do that all the time about Allah? Because our lives belong to Him, our future, all our relationships, the breaths we take, everything belongs to Him. It's all in His control. Then why can't we figure out how to please Him? How can we be so careless about glorifying Him and remembering Him, about praising Him, bowing before Him and prostrating before Him? He has absolute control over everything. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowledgeable, all wise. He knows everything we all do. He is all aware of all our sins. It's not that He has ignored them, but He is so wise. That's why He gives us time, even though He knows about it. It's not like He didn't find out because nothing happened after we sinned. He knows, but He doesn't punish us right away. He is the all-wise. So He gives us time so that we can repent. Allahu Akbar. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ خَطِيئَتُهُ أَوْ إِثْمًا ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا فَقَدْ اِحْتَمَلَ بُحْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. But if anyone commits a crime and charges an innocent person with it, he shall indeed bear the guilt of slander and a clear sin. The first word mentioned is خَطِيئَتُهُ. It comes from خَطَى, and that means something bad, something people do unintentionally, that it just happens when they didn't plan to do it. It just happened. They just end up doing it. But the second word is ithm, and that means sin. And that means something wrong people do on purpose when they plan to do it. And then afterwards, instead of seeking forgiveness, if that person blames someone else for making that mistake or sinning, then that person has made a false accusation. Buhtan means slander. When someone accuses another person of saying or doing something that's not even true. Then apply it to the case of the innocent Jewish person the Banu Ubayrik tribe had accused of stealing. They had made a false accusation against him, and they carried a big burden of that clear sin. Accusing someone else of something is very bad. But if someone accuses someone of something they actually did themselves, if they try to throw it on someone else, they get double the sin for claiming to be innocent and lying about it. And then accusing someone else of saying or doing it. Remember that Allah is a witness over everything we say and everything we do. So we have to be extremely careful in these matters. If someone accuses us of saying or doing something we didn't do, everything will become evident. And it will be displayed before all on the Day of Judgment. So we don't need to worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it all evident. It'll all come out. And the burdens of those sins and false accusations will be so heavy there for people who accuse others. People will have to carry those loads there. Even when we gain weight in this life, we can't really tell until we step on the scale and then we're suddenly shocked. We can't really tell how much extra weight we had been carrying otherwise. That's how the weight of sins will be on the Day of Judgment. Because we don't sense them now. We can't see them. But they'll be so heavy on that day. And people will have to walk with those sins, carrying that heavy load, without any help from anyone. Accusing anyone of a sin they haven't committed is buhtan. Many people accuse innocent women of immorality when they're good, chaste women. And a lot of women falsely accuse their husband of being involved with someone else. They just say it as if it's nothing big. Those things are big. They are all buhtan. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the person who falsely accused someone else in a place in Jahannam that will have the filth of the hell dwellers. That person will be told that he or she will only be taken out of there after they prove that whatever they accused someone of is true. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out of there if they prove that their accusation was right. But since it won't be true, there's no way that person will be able to prove it. So they'll have to stay there. That's why we need to be very careful when we accuse anyone of anything. We can't just carelessly say whatever thought comes to mind. We can't say whatever we feel like saying. Have to be careful. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah's grace were not with you, وَرَحْمَتُهُ and His mercy, if His grace and His mercy had not been with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to save him from the mischief of the tribe of Banu Dhafar, لَهَمَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُضِلُّوكَ A group of them was determined to lead you astray. And whenever we see the ka fatha, in the Quran, like in the word alayka, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he says that. Okay, because it's singular and he's addressing one person. So he says that if it had not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a group of the Banu Barik tribe was determined to lead him astray. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not revealed ayat to tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the truth, they had definitely plotted to mislead him. They had convinced him that their man was innocent and that the Jewish man was the thief. This shows us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to figure out the truth because of the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. They had tried their best to mislead him. وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ But they lead none astray but themselves. وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ And they cannot do you any harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, so they could not harm him. Whenever people plot something against others, they are usually just hurting their own selves. They actually hurt them own their own selves. They just don't realize it. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book and the wisdom. Now the word hikmah refers to hadith. So it means the wisdom, the vision, and explanation of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave him understanding of the matters. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ And he taught you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you did not know. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا And the grace of Allah upon you is great. He gave you the book. He gave you the wisdom. And He taught you what you didn't know. Before prophethood, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say words that he said after he received the wahi, the divine revelations. He was known as being the truthful and trustworthy even before. He was known for being sadiq and ameen. But he didn't say things from the Quran until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to say them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't learn these things from anywhere else. Allah taught him himself about the Quran and faith, about iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى Didn't he find you in search of guidance and guide you? And note that the word ضَالًّا doesn't necessarily mean lost, as this ayah is often translated to, didn't he find you lost and guide you? Okay, the word ضَالًّا also means in search of guidance. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in search of guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him because he wanted to be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam these things, and he didn't know them before. That was the fadl of Allah upon him. People often think of wealth as the fadl of Allah. That is the fadl of Allah, but it's just one kind of fadl. Fadli azim, the greatest fadl or bounty, the greatest grace of Allah on someone is the book. It's wisdom and knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called all these things a gift to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. If we think about it, aren't we being granted ilm of the book right now? Knowledge of the book and the hadith and things we didn't know before? We should think of these things as fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. If we had not been guided, we would have been wasting our time doing something else right now, something useless we didn't know before. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us and gave us knowledge. He calls that fadli azim when he grants someone that knowledge. And this knowledge cannot be inherited from being born into a certain family. We have to want it, and we have to work hard to seek that knowledge. Only then he grants it to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told his prophet to make dua and say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was told to say, Rabbi zidni ilma. O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not instructed to ask for an increase in wealth or anything else, power, whatever. He was only instructed to ask for, to make dua for an increase in ilm, in knowledge. So we should ask for knowledge and work hard to gain it. It's a grace of Allah upon people who he gives it to. A great blessing. If we don't think much of it, and we're not willing to put in the effort and the time to obtain that ilm, we should know that we will not be able to learn much at all. We have to give up other things sometimes to be able to prioritize the Quran, just to make time for it and gain knowledge of it. The Sahaba, the beloved companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to say, if it had not been for Allah, we would not have been guided. If it had not been for Allah, we wouldn't have prayed salah. If it had not been for Allah, we would not have given charity. Subhanallah. So they praised Allah and they thanked him for choosing to guide them, for choosing them to give that knowledge to, so they could do all these good deeds, so they could be conscious of Allah. In Surah A'raf, we learn that people of Jannah, when they enter Jannah, when they enter paradise, they will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihadha wa ma kunna linahtadi lawla an hadana Allah. Thanks to Allah who guided us. And it was not for us to be guided if Allah had not guided us. That we would not have been able to be guided if he hadn't chosen us. We would have been lost without knowing the right path if Allah had not guided us to it. They're going to praise Allah when they enter Jannah, that it's because of the guidance he gave them that they were guided to go and to enter Jannah. It's a great blessing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides people to deen and he grants them the understanding of it. Because only when we understand and when we have knowledge can we implement whatever we're learning. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends goodness for someone, He gives that person the understanding of the deen. Okay, so when He wants someone to be good, when He wants goodness for someone, when He wants them to be in a good state, He gives them the understanding of iman, the understanding of religion, the understanding of Islam. Allahu Akbar. Here, we finish the ayat about the Banu Zafar tribe that we've been learning about. We complete them here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that because of the grace and mercy of Allah upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people were not able to mislead Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how hard they tried. And he says that they only harmed themselves when they tried to mislead him. We'll stop here for today, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Wa tubu alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.